God's peace is always yours in Jesus. Hear the word of God from Luke 14. Jesus said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Dear friends in Christ, let me introduce you to the world's greatest troublemaker. He disturbs the peace, starts arguments, and causes fights. He arouses conflict and turns family members against each other. Who is this great troublemaker? His name is Jesus Christ. You may have never thought of Jesus as a troublemaker in your wildest dreams. We often think of him as sweet, loving, and forgiving. But truth be told, Jesus comes at times to disturb the peace and divide homes. Don't believe me? Listen to Jesus' words again, but this time from Luke 12. "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace on earth, but division. For I have come to set a father against his son, and a son against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a mother against her daughter, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law." Sounds like a troublemaker to me. In Matthew 10, Jesus says, "I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." And then in Luke 14, Jesus says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yet even his own life, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." And when we hear those words of Jesus, we're sort of left scratching our ears. And then the kids, they say something like, "Hey, mommy and daddy, the pastor said that we're supposed to hate our mother and father. So when do you want us to start?" Wow, indeed, this is a really hard saying of Jesus, not exactly easy to preach about. As with a lot of what Jesus says, there's more here than meets the eye. So to help you get your feet wet, let me ask you a couple of questions. Do you rejoice that Noah and his immediate family were divided out from the sinful world through repentance and faith from the rest of their family, friends, and neighbors, and that they were saved on the ark through the flood? Or would you have preferred that they were not divided out from the sinful world and that they would have also died in the flood? Let me give another example. Do you give thanks that one of the two thieves crucified with Jesus was divided out through repentance and faith from all the other con men he had been running with and the other criminal he was crucified with, and that he was saved? Or would you prefer that he not be divided out and go to hell? If you rejoice that the Lord divides out and saves sinners for himself from the sinful world through repentance and faith, then you're starting to understand today's text. Our Lord's dividing us out from the unbelieving world, even if some of those unbelievers are our own family members or friends, the Lord's dividing us out from the unbelieving world means salvation for those who have been divided out through repentance and faith in Jesus. Think about a family where everyone trusts in Jesus as their Savior. Sure, they'll still have disagreements and squabbles about where to eat out, what movie to go to, whether or not to buy a new car. But there's peace in that house because the love of Jesus trumps their disagreements, and their love of Jesus, the love of Jesus dwells in their hearts. They trust that Jesus' blood has caused God to not hold their sins against them. And so they don't hold each other's sins against them, but forgive each other, and there's peace in that house, the peace of Jesus Christ. But now consider a family where some of the family members trust in Jesus as their Savior, while others are unbelievers. In those families, the mention of Jesus or his cross and empty tomb or repentance and forgiveness are fighting words. When a family is made up of believers and unbelievers, there will be strife. Why? Because there are different gods competing for supremacy in that family or in that house. As a result, such a family will only find peace in one of three ways. Either they'll all come to believe in Jesus as their Savior through the good news of Jesus, and they'll enjoy the peace of God that is ours through Christ's shed blood. The second option is those who do not believe will choke out the faith of those who do believe, and then there will be peace in their family or home, but it'll be the peace of the dead who are on their way to hell. Or finally, everyone will decide that family is more important than Jesus' blood, so they'll agree to not talk about Jesus, even at the expense of each other's salvation. There's an old saying that says, blood is thicker than water. Sadly, blood is oftentimes thicker than the blood and water that flowed from Emmanuel's veins on Calvary's cross. Now, let's be clear. Jesus doesn't cause trouble for the fun of it. No, he's come to save the whole world in his all-forgiving death. But as he reclaims the world for himself from their unbelief, and from the devil's clutches or hold on them, there's going to be a fight. For example, when an earthly king starts to reclaim territory and it's his citizens who have lined themselves up against him, that means war. When you cling to Christ's cross and join the ranks of those who are forgiven, who confess their sins and trust in Jesus as their Savior, you need to get ready for some trouble. Even from your own unbelieving family members and friends. You see, to the devil, the world, and our flesh, to confess our sins and cling to Christ as our Savior are acts of war. When Jesus says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. What he's saying is, are you willing to follow me as your Savior, even when your family tells you not to, your friends tell you not to, your own self tells you not to, and if you do follow Jesus, there'll be hell to pay? Trust me, it happens. I've seen it. And that's where you need to hate, not in the sense of the emotion hate, but that is to hate or put behind you those who would separate you from Jesus. The truth is, Jesus is a needed troublemaker. He comes to families where there may be peace, but it's the peace of the dead, the peace of those who have agreed not to mention the name of Jesus. So Jesus comes to stir things up. Why? Because he's not just going to hand you over to the devil without a fight. He comes to stir things up rather than leave us in our self-chosen death and hell. Why? Because leaving sinners in our death, sin, death, and hell is not an option. The blood and water that flowed from Jesus' hands, feet, and side are what life's all about. And if he needs to stir things up, even in your family, even through you, in order to save your family and friends, then get ready for trouble. You see, Jesus' goal is to get in the way of anyone and everything that would rob us of our salvation. And as the children of the king, that should be our goal also. Let me illustrate Jesus' point. Parents, you are to love your children, and you are to love them with an unconditional love, just like Jesus loves you with an unconditional love. But if your loyalty to your children is greater than your loyalty to Jesus, it can destroy both your faith and theirs. Let's say your son or daughter decides to live in sin, whatever that sin may be. They decide to live in sin. But rather than upset them and truly help them by sharing what God's word says about sin, but also what God's word says about to those who repent, he will forgive their sins and remember them no more. You want to be sure to get the good news in there too. But you choose to condone their sin because you don't want to risk losing a relationship with them or cause division in the family. Be careful. You may lose both your faith and theirs. You're starting to walk on sinking sand because now you're beginning to love your child or children with a love that is becoming unbuckled from God's word and unbuckled from Jesus' forgiving blood. In other words, by refusing to call their sin sin, you're actually robbing them of the forgiveness they so desperately need and that Jesus died to give to them. In other words, when keeping the peace becomes more important, that you feel you can't risk losing their earthly relationship at any cost, and you do so at the risk of losing their eternal relationship with Jesus Christ. When we realize that Jesus' death and resurrection are the sweetest deals we've ever been given, and that Jesus' love so captures our hearts that we want everyone to know this unfathomable love for them, we'll often face a battle. The unbeliever isn't going to simply surrender without a fight, which means what? There's a cost in carrying your cross, and your cross, really, that you're carrying is the cross of Christ, even in your own families. Sons and daughters are not going to want to stop sinning the sins that you've been condoning for years simply because you've changed. In that case, you need to admit you were wrong in condoning their sins and tell them what the danger is if they keep on living in it, but that there's forgiveness. The in-laws are not going to want to abandon their atheism just because you have. Parents won't stop worshiping the money god or pleasure god just because their children do. Now do you see what Jesus means when he says, I did not come to bring peace but division, but is all trying to save people? Jesus brings what I'll call the good strife of repentance and forgiveness by his blood to homes, families, and friends who only know the peace of the dead. Yes, your family and friends may get ticked off at you. Look it, we were all getting along just fine until you brought up that Jesus stuff. Now look at all the trouble you caused. Even though you only want them to know that they're totally forgiven and loved by Christ. In many ways, Jesus can be a troublemaker in our lives and families. The question is Jesus' forgiving blood and getting out of our graves alive on the last day and receiving eternal life in heaven with our family and friends worth the trouble? Just ask the rich man in Luke 16, who blew off Jesus, and he ended up in hell. And then when it's too late, he begs Abraham, please warn my brothers, which I didn't do, so that they won't end up here in this place of agony. There's no doubt that when Jesus enters a home that has been at peace, but it's the peace of the dead, that peace is going to be disturbed. Jesus is not just going to sit by and let a family or a home have the peace of the dead. But Jesus wants us to see that this battle is a matter of life and death. Before Christ entered the picture, the family may have gotten along just fine. Why? They were all on the same page, dead in sin. Or at least the dead and living agreed not to talk about Jesus. But now strife has arisen because some have seen their sin, repented of it, and they realize that Jesus' forgiving blood and his gift of eternal life is the only life there really is, and he's the only way to receive it. As a result, our unbelieving friends and family members are going to get bent out of shape. This is a real war. To have one's sinful flesh put to death in repentance and to become an entirely new person in Jesus is an act of war to the unbeliever. Repentance means the death of the old you. And the unbeliever is so in love with their sin and their sinful selves and the pleasure of sin that they're not going to give up their sin without a fight. As a result, Jesus and his word and his followers are in the unbeliever's crosshairs. When we who are safe show others their sin, but also let them know Jesus died to forgive them, we're actually wielding the double-edged sword of God's word. And that's why there's strife. But this is good strife. It's a necessary battle. Salvation is at stake. Eternity is on the line. That strife is there because Jesus is there. seeking to save those who are lost. And they don't want to give up their lostness because they're having a lot of fun in their lostness, not realizing that life is so much better than the fun they're having in their sin. And by his word, which is the source of so much strife, Jesus is actually dividing out our loved ones and friends from sin, death, and the devil unto forgiveness, life, and salvation through repentance and faith. No, we can't force Jesus on our loved ones. That's true. But neither should we withhold Jesus from our loved ones just to keep the peace. Their salvation is at stake. Just a quick note to parents. There will never be an easier time than when your kids are young to teach them that Jesus is their Savior. Because the older they get, the more this world and the devil and their flesh are going to try to convince them that Jesus is just a troublemaker, an angry judge, a killjoy. Proverbs 22 promises, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. There's the best model for avoiding strife in your home. Luther once said, the most terrifying times in my life were when I had no troubles at all. For I realized that the devil lets sleeping dogs lie. So it was at those times when I had no troubles that I believe I had gotten so far off track from my Savior that the devil, the world, and my flesh saw no need to afflict me or my family. Where Jesus is dividing out and saving us from sin, death, and hell, there will always be strife, but it is the good strife for true life in Jesus. In the end, folks, where do we find the strength to risk losing everything, even family and friends if necessary, to let them know what they really have to know, that there's a blood that is so forgiving, even God isn't mad at them anymore? Where do you find that strength? At the cross, where Jesus shed a blood so pure, so life-giving, so forgiving, that God doesn't hold our sins against us. No amount of pain kept Jesus from enduring God's wrath to save you and me. There were times when Jesus' own family and friends tried to shut him up. Check out Mark 3 when you get home, because they thought he was out of his mind. And Jesus lost many friends when he told them that they were sinners and that they could only be saved by his blood. Still, Jesus also saved others. To some, Jesus' words, whoever repents and believes in me will be saved, are fighting words. But the truth is, they are also saving words. Whoever repents and believes in me will be saved. Jesus carried our cross all the way to Golgotha and died for the life of the world. Yes, the good news of Jesus may cause trouble in relationships, but not nearly as much trouble as Jesus went through to save you, me, and them. He ignored his own welfare, his own safety, his own relationships. He ignored the wishes of his family and friends to die for sinners. But in his being willing to lose it all, he actually saved us all through his all-forgiving death. For to Jesus, your life and mine were worth the trouble of saving. All in Jesus. Amen.